The epistle is written in Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, to be found on page 1182 in the Church Bible. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. The gospel is taken from the gospel of John, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 20, which can be found on page 1085 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Down. And let us pray. Father God, as we come to this familiar topic of prayer, I just pray you will give us open ears, open hearts, and open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. So when I was asked to speak on this topic of prayer and as part of the Basics series, I was given free rein as to which Bible passage to use as the main text. So where do I start? I did think about 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray continually. So everybody, let's just keep praying. The end. I thought that might be a tad too short a sermon. Prayer comes up a lot in the Bible. Apparently, there are 650 prayers listed and approximately 450 reported answers to prayer. The first prayer in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible also records Jesus praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry, and Paul mentions prayer 41 times. So there's a lot to choose from. But the first thing this tells us is that prayer is really important, is a really important part of being a Christian. But what is prayer? Those of you who were listening a little while ago have already had a spoiler on this one. But I remember as a Christian fellowship weekend, whilst at university, we were asked that very question. And I wrote in the back of my Bible, prayer is talking and listening with God. And for me, in a nutshell, that's what prayer is. Just like a child talks and listens to their parents, prayer is how we converse with God our Father. We bring him our hopes and desires, our worries and concerns. Prayer directly connects us with God on a personal level. And just as when we were children, asking our parents for something we wanted or advice about a decision, we may not get the answer we want or were expecting. But if we come to God with a genuine heart and call upon the name of the Lord, he will listen to us. Jeremiah 19, verse 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Prayer has been given to us to enable us to talk to God our Father, and for him to talk to us, and for us to listen to him. Hudson Taylor, a Victorian missionary in China, sums up the importance of prayer when he said, "When you work, but when you pray, God works." Just hold on to that thought as we explore this topic of prayer together this morning. So why have I chosen this passage from Colossians? Well, for me, it sums up the importance of prayer in all aspects of our Christian lives. Paul has heard about this new Christian community and is supporting it through prayer. He prays that they will know God's will and that God will give them the power to live it out. And the prayer concludes with an expression of thanksgiving for God's mighty act of deliverance and redemption. But why did Paul feel it necessary to pray for this particular community? Well, Colossae was one of several cities in Asia Minor, located in the Lycus River Valley. It was on a main cross-country trade route, so it was subject to many cultural and religious influences. You can imagine all the different people and different cultures passing through such a place, bringing new ideas, sharing new experiences. And this made people in this new Christian community wonder whether there might be something they're missing, some truths, some experiences, or some beliefs that could be added to or even replace Jesus. And this was Paul's concern. We see elsewhere in the letter in chapter 2 that knowledge and wisdom was offered by false teachers. In chapter 2, verse 8, it reads, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Paul prays that the Colossians will have wisdom and understanding that comes only from God, through the Spirit, and not be distracted by false teaching that they are surrounded by in their everyday lives. Whilst I was preparing this sermon, I realised just how relevant Paul's prayer is to us today. We live in a world surrounded by things that can distract us from God, things that make promises of a better life of now. How easily are we distracted from what God wants for our lives? Do we try to live according to his will? Or are we caught up in the latest gimmick or idea that will allegedly improve our lives? Or is it simply easier to go with the flow of everyday life in a secular world where people tend to live for today, not worrying about anything else, just getting what they want to satisfy their latest need? Just like the Colossians all those years ago, we face distractions that take us away from God. There is a risk we live our lives without necessarily thinking, "Is this the way God wants me to live?" And it is for help to avoid doing that that Paul prays. His letter says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." I love that Paul continually asks God to fill the Colossians with the knowledge of his will. This prayer is not a one-off thing. It is continuous. But it has to be, doesn't it? Do you ever make a New Year's resolution and then find by the end of January you've been distracted and it's fallen away? Well, this is so much more serious than that. We need to continually ask God to give us the knowledge of his will so that we can make the right decisions in how we choose to live. But what does that mean? At its most basic, knowledge of God's will is simply turning to Jesus, seeking to increase our knowledge and wisdom, which we can do through reading our Bibles, discussing with our fellow Christians in our home groups, or at Hope Explored course. But it's also about praying, asking God to help us to make the right decisions when we follow him. Romans 12, verse 2 sums it up beautifully. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to not be distracted by the world around us, by the things that are seen as the norm in society. But we need to read and pray and ask God to show us his will. Paul prays that the Colossians will have the wisdom and understanding that comes only from God, through the Holy Spirit, and not be distracted by false teaching that they are surrounded by in their everyday lives. And that is the same message for us today. We also need to pray to have wisdom and understanding that only comes from God. In these few verses, Paul is highlighting why and how we should pray, the importance of praying for each other in a community. He prays the Colossians can know God fully, lead productive lives, and are filled with God's power. But you might be thinking, well, that's just one example of prayer in a very specific circumstance. So let's take a little time to look broader about what prayer is and why we should pray. Well, firstly, it's because Jesus did. As I mentioned at the start, the Bible records 25 specific times that Jesus prayed here on earth. Jesus gives us the perfect prayer. If we don't know what else to pray, then simply use the Lord's Prayer, either as it is or as a template for your own prayers. I'm not going to go into any more detail on that. We did a whole sermon series last term on the Lord's Prayer, and they're all still available on the website if you need a refresher. But Jesus not only gave us a pattern for prayer, he shows us the different ways we should pray. Jesus prayed for others. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Jesus prayed with others. Luke 9, verse 28. He, that is Jesus, took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. He prayed alone and regularly. Luke 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He prayed for himself. John 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He even prayed for those who believe in him, for us. John 17, verses 20 and 21. My prayer is not for them alone, and the them there is the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And it struck me that there are echoes of Jesus' prayer for us in Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Jesus is praying that we who believe in him live lives that show that. And in a similar way, Paul prayed in Colossians 1 verse 10, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I just love it when I spot connections like that in the Bible, things I've never seen before. But it highlights the consistency of the message and the importance of prayer in our Christian lives today. Secondly, prayer brings us closer to God. When we pray, we welcome God into all aspects of our lives. The more time we spend with him in prayer, the more we draw closer to him and know more about him. And that helps us understand his will for us. So just as Paul called the Colossians not to be distracted by worldly things around them or false prophets, we need to understand how God wants us to live without worldly distractions. Prayer is us asking God to lead us and help us in our journey through life. Prayer is a way to surrender our lives to God and trust that he will lead us down the path he has planned for us. We can use prayer to ask God for wisdom in making decisions, in knowing what to do in a particular circumstance. And when we are obedient and follow his path, when we align our lives with what God wants, then we're showing that we trust him. And who knows where that could lead. Thirdly, when we pray for others, it also helps us to realise that others' needs can come before our own. I always think it's such a privilege to pray with others and for others, rejoicing in the good times and walking alongside and upholding in the hard times. In a world that propagates self-centeredness, the importance of prayer cannot be slighted. It helps us to be humble and compassionate towards others. And that links to another reason why we pray. When times are hard, it can feel like we're alone. But we just need to remember God is always with us. When we pray, particularly in the hard times, it helps us to remind us that God is not only with us, but he is in control and will help us whatever the challenges or hardships we are facing. And knowing that can help us stay strong and trust God in that hard place. He will give us the strength and hope we need to get through anything. And in knowing that, it can bring us peace. Not peace as in feeling all relaxed and content or you're at the spa, but a peace that only God can provide. That comfort of knowing that he has not abandoned us, but is with us and holds us close in that dark, hard place. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You are in a hard and challenging place, yet you know it will be all right, whatever the outcome. It doesn't make sense, and people who aren't Christians don't understand. Maybe you don't even understand yourself how you can feel so calm. But it's just that you know God's peace is with you. Finally, prayer isn't just about giving God our wish list. It's also a chance to give him thanks and praise for who he is and what he has done in our lives, both big and small. I love how we usually start the prayer breakfast with a time of thanksgiving. Just saying thank you to God for anything and everything. It's a wonderful reminder of just how much God gives us of his abounding grace and mercy. It's also an acknowledgement of how everything we have, all that we are, comes from him. So lots of reasons of why it's important to pray. But how should we pray? As we've seen, Jesus prayed alone and with others. And praying alone is a wonderful and important thing. It helps our faith and confidence in God grow. But praying with others is just as important. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't with us when we pray alone. It's just reiterating that he will be there when we come together. If you're new to praying with others, maybe think about finding a prayer partner or create a prayer triplet. One or two people that you commit to pray for and with. And if you find praying out loud daunting, then this is a really good introduction to doing so. But there are lots of examples of the disciples coming together to pray as a community. At the beginning of Acts, in the first chapter, the disciples come together to pray. They sought God's view on who should replace Judas to take over his apostolic ministry. Seeking guidance in making decisions is something we should bring to the Lord. And when it is something that impacts the church family, we need to do that together. Does that sound familiar? We've come together as a church family at various times, for example, to pray for who our new vicar should be, or praying for our new vicar, and throughout the building project when we had so many decisions to make. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested and held overnight in prison for proclaiming the good news of the gospel. On their release, they told the other disciples what had happened, and they prayed together. Chapter 4, verse 9 says that, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." The disciples prayed for courage to witness for Christ in the face of threats and of arrest. There is something about coming together when times are hard to encourage and support each other. To hear the prayers of fellow believers gives us confidence to know that we're not on our own in that place. We are together as a community. We can see from Acts the importance the disciples and the early church put on praying together as a community. And that's important for us too. There are lots of opportunities to pray together in St. Pat's. And I mean more than just in here on a Sunday morning. But I do love that generally we say the Lord's Prayer all together as a church family before the children leave to go to their groups. For me, that's a really special moment of the service. At some services, like today, we offer prayer ministry, a chance to ask for prayer for ourselves or for people we know. And although God knows our needs, he wants us to come and bring our requests to him. And prayer ministry is one way to do that, especially if we lack the confidence to pray on our own for whatever it is. And it's okay to come for prayer again and again. Pray continually, that verse from Thessalonians. Members of the prayer ministry team are delighted to pray with you. They won't share what those prayers are about with anyone else. And there will be two couples during communion today who'll be available to pray with you if that's what you would like to do. The main opportunity to come together as a community, as our church family, are the various evening prayer meetings and the Saturday morning prayer breakfasts. They're a chance to come together to chat over coffee and a pastry before gathering to pray. An hour or so might feel like a long time, but it is broken up into different sections, and I always find that time flies. If you're not sure or worried about coming along, maybe praying out loud isn't something you're used to doing. Come anyway. You don't have to pray out loud. But if you do, it doesn't have to be long and rambly, and you don't have to use big words. As Max Lucado puts it, "Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." I also found this wonderful quote from a book called First Steps, The Handbook to Following Christ by Stephen Gaukroger. He says, "Praying is like music. Instruments played on their own are good, but there is depth and richness of sound when a number play together. Praying with others will deeply enrich your prayer life." So whether you feel like you're a triangle, just chiming in rarely, or the lead violin, you have a part to play in praying together as a community. Have a read through the book of Acts. There are lots of references to where the disciples prayed, both together as a community and in smaller groups on their own. But what is clear, it was a regular part of their daily ministry. Just as reading our Bibles should be something we do every day, praying is also something we should do every day. Last week, Dave mentioned the Bible reading notes you can get. And these are actually a great way to cover both your Bible reading and praying, as most of them give you something to pray about each day, as well as the Bible reading and the commentary. It's a really good way to get into the habit of praying regularly on your own. But can I also encourage you to come to the next prayer breakfast on Saturday, the 21st of September? We have lots to pray about together, especially during the vacancy, and for Ollie and his family as they prepare to come and join us. So in closing, I just want to return to Paul's prayer in Colossians in chapter 1. We're reminded of God's incredible desire for us to live lives filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul prayed for the Colossians to know God's will, not just in their minds, but in the depths of their hearts, so that they would walk worthy of the Lord in every area of their lives. When you pray, what do you expect the result of that prayer to be? Is it for your heart to change, so that you too walk worthy of the Lord in every area of your life? So as when we come to the end of the service and leave this place, let us pray continually, like Paul, for ourselves and for each other, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, to walk in a way that is worthy of him, and that our lives are a reflection of the glorious light of Jesus, bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, and living in the power of the Spirit. Amen.